choir probably, but I want to throw out a challenge to you as the holidays come up. My challenge to you is to don't spend too much money. Don't get caught in it. Don't get caught up in it. Yeah? Just relax. You know, people say that, but then they find it and they spend it anyway. And give me your credit cards. I won't use them. I will keep them if that's a temptation that's beyond what you can handle. But just want to challenge you guys to take care of your daily needs and then be as compassionate and be as caring as you can for those in need during this time. Instead of, you know, you don't have to spend those couple $200 gifts on me this year. You can just, $100 is fine. And yeah. All right. I'm gonna let's pray together as we open up the word. Are you in Acts 4? I hope you are. If you've been here before, you know that's where we're at. In the book of Acts, let's pray together. What a treat, Lord, to be here this morning and just to enjoy each other and enjoy you. And I'm very thankful for each and every soul that is here. And I thank you so much for the Word of God that comes alive for us. And amazingly, it just every time it can speak into our hearts. It can speak to us. It convicts us, but it also encourages us. And it molds us and it shapes us into the person you want us to be. And so I ask for that this morning, Lord. I ask for a very tender heart to listen to you. For the person here that has got their hands kind of out and saying, whoa, 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 and kind of resisting you, maybe this morning just the heart would be softened a bit, realize you're real, you're true. For those of us who are earnestly on that journey, Lord, do what you need to do. Put us through that refiner's fire so that we would become more and more like you, that we would be a pure, pure vessel for you. We confess our sins to you. We just confess our wants and our needs. We confess that we are so far from you sometimes. But how I thank you for your grace, that your grace is enough and that you love us no matter what. Thank you for this chance, Lord, to talk about boldness and courage. And boy, do we need that in these days. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the operating room of a very large hospital was a nurse who for the first time was in the surgery room. Very first time, and she's assisting the surgeon. And as they're getting ready to close up whatever surgery was going on, the nurse says to the doctor, this brand new rookie nurse, right? She says to the doctor, "Doctor, only 11 sponges have come out. There were 12. And the doctor says, like a doctor, I know there's no doctors here, so a doctor said, as a doctor would say always, I counted. I removed them all. I did it, right? Quit bugging me. Let's close the incision now. No, the nurse objected. No, we used 12 sponges. I only have 11. I'll take full responsibility, the surgeon says. Sutures, let's go. And she, rookie nurse, goes irate and says, "You can't do that. You can't do that. Think of the patient." And the surgeon smiled and lifted his foot off the floor at where he had the 12th sponge hidden. And then he said to the nurse, "You'll do. You'll do." That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted. Oh, cell phones aren't silenced. Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling alert. Yeah. I want to ask you guys a question this morning. How do you define courage? How do you define boldness? Do you think of military heroes who have protected their fellow comrades as they were in war? Do you think of those guys? Or maybe, do you think of a sick child up at Dornbecker's Hospital who is struggling through cancer? Maybe you think of someone who stood up for a bully at school or stood up to a bully at work. Maybe you're thinking of a parent who worked two jobs just so that you could have food on the table. How do you define courage? What is your definition? Who do you think of when you think of courage? Maybe the simplest definition of courage that I could come up with or these words that you'll see up on the screen. It's that ability to do or to say what is right, no matter the cost, no matter the consequences. Just the ability to do or say what's right, to do the right thing when you know what the right thing is, right? No matter the cost or the consequences. I think it's hard to be bold. I think it's hard to be courageous these days. It's hard to stand up for what's right, even when so few seem to agree with you. It's hard to make a stand, isn't it? It's tough to be courageous when you feel like you're standing all alone. I remember hearing of tests done, like maybe like in university, they would do these kind of things, where they would study peer pressure and the effects of peer pressure on us. What they would do is they would fill up a room with 10 people. 9 of them were in on the gag. It was just that lone sucker, that lone one number one guy that this test was all about. And there was a card, and on this card were 3 different lines of different lengths. The bottom one was obviously the longest line. The smallest one was obviously the longest one. But when the guy who's in charge comes into the room, he said, I want to know by raise of hands which one is the longest line. And again, the nine are in on it, right? And all 9 of them pick the bottom one. And that poor one person who's, No, they picked the middle one, didn't they? I'm screwing this whole story up. They picked the middle one, which is obviously not the longest one. But the guy said, no, what do I do? Do you guys know on this test, 3 out of 4 times, that 10th person, guess what he does or she does? They go with the crowd. They go with the group. 3 out of 4 times. Why? Even when they know it's that they're wrong, they just want to fit in. They just want to conform, to be like the others. So I think it's funny how bravery, being courageous when everyone else is going the other way, is a very tough thing to do. You feel like you're a salmon swimming against the current sometimes, I know. Now, if my own life flashed before you up on this screen right now, I'd be very embarrassed. You know, if all those things came up, I'd be embarrassed by all the cowardly moments in my life, which I think far outweigh my bold moments. More times than not, I think I took the cowardly way out. So much of my life, I've been a people pleaser, caring more about what people think of me than what I knew to be right or what I knew to be wrong. All that mattered was what people thought of me. But for the person who follows Christ, there's going to be moments in your life when you have to choose between right or wrong. You've got to take a stand, no matter what others say or think. Even though you've got that inherent need for people to like you, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to learn that it's even more important to stand for the Lord, to stand for what's right and wrong, and you're going to see great things happen as a result of that. You just can't be a Christ follower when it's convenient. Yeah? You can't just do it when it's convenient. We're going to see an example of that in our story in the Bible today in Acts 4. I'm going to show you an amazing example of courage. We've been in Acts 4. We've been in Acts 3. We still have this very same story going on that we've had for like a month now. When Peter and John came and they healed the man who had been crippled for how long? So like 40 years, over 40 years. He'd never walked. He was healed miraculously when they said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And then the Jewish council gets all bent out of shape by what's going on here. They arrest him. They put him in jail overnight. And the next day, they set it all up for this quickie, I don't know what you'd call it today, like a deposition or a little mini trial that's really going on. Is Peter and John are put before the judges that be, the ones who can decide their fate. And they start to ask them all these questions. By whose authority are you doing this? Whose name did you use to heal this guy? That's what they cared about. I think that's so funny. But Peter gets his chance to boldly share. And we talked about that last Sunday for those of you who are here. You can always listen to it online or just read the scriptures for yourself. The funny thing about this is the council is grilling Peter and John. Guess who's standing right there with Peter and John? The healed man. The scripture says that the guy had been healed was there standing right between them, like has his arms around their shoulders going, yeah, come on, guys, come on, God. Because this guy's been healed, and he must just have a smile on his face the whole time. no matter what's going on. I can just picture that. He's kind of like shaking his legs and going, na-na-na, doing a little jig while all this serious stuff's going on, because he's just excited that he can walk. Peter puts this noose around his own neck and boldly declares that it was in the name of Jesus that this man is healed. And he boldly declares that only in the name of Jesus can anyone, including you guys, Jewish council, can only through that can you be saved. And it was you guys who killed Jesus, but God raised him from the dead. The news is getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And Peter doesn't seem to care. Look at verse 16 and through 18 here on the screen or in your Bibles. The council talks amongst themselves after all this. And they say, what are we going to do with these guys? We can't deny that they've performed a miraculous sign. Everybody in Jerusalem knows about it by now. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we've got to warn them not to speak to anyone else in Jesus' name again. So they called the apostles back in, and they commanded them never, ever to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. What do you guys think about that? Here comes this dilemma that every follower of Christ will at least once in their lives have to face. Peter faced it a few weeks before this story. Remember? We've talked about that a little bit. It was when Jesus was arrested. Where was Peter? He was half brave. He half kind of followed with Jesus. And he was outside of the area in the middle of the night by a fire. And people started to recognize who he was. I said, you've been with Jesus, haven't you? And you guys know what happened. Three times he said, I don't even know who Jesus is. But now we look here. We look at verse 19. How about this? Peter and John respond by saying, you're telling us we can't teach about Jesus. We can't talk about Jesus' name anymore. You think God wants us to obey you rather than him? A little tighter, a little bit tighter. He's starting to go, you know. He says, we can't stop telling about everything we've seen and heard. We can't stop. Do what you must to us. We cannot do this. We can't obey people. We've got to obey God. Wow. Talk about drawing the line in the sand. We must obey God rather than man. A totally transformed Peter. Totally different from just a few weeks ago. This is the first example, I think, maybe in the Bible, but certainly here in Acts, first example of what we would call today civil disobedience, where you've got to kind of make this decision of there's this conflict between governments that be, the politicians or whatever that be, and God. And that's a tough position to be in. Most of us right here in Oregon, Clackamas County, these days, we don't really have to struggle with that wrestling match. But there's times. I mean, I've got family members who certainly part of my heritage, like the Mennonites and the Quakers, were famous for their stance of civil disobedience, where they just felt murder's murder, no matter what, even if it's in war. And so they took a stand, say, I'll serve in the military, but I'm not going to carry a gun. I'm not going to press any buttons or shoot anything. You know, I'm going to take a stand. And we call that civil disobedience. And they did it because they believed what God's standard says. They believe they must obey God rather than man. I can respect someone's convictions about that. I respect that. I don't know if it's a black and white issue for all of us. It's a little fuzzy sometimes when we decide what power the government has in our lives and what they don't have. Because I've talked to people, maybe you are one of them, who in the past have said, well, I think I'm kind of under conviction. I'm not going to pay my taxes anymore. God told me. I'm not going to pay my tax. Sorry. It's in the Bible that we are to pay our taxes. So that's not fuzzy. There are fuzzy moments. That's not one of them. Or, well, I didn't vote for that president, and so I'm just going to ridicule and make fun of him. Sorry. That's not an act of civil disobedience. That's actually a sin. Because the Bible also says to pray for and respect whoever is in leadership. Because why? Because it was God who put that person in position, whether we voted for him or her or not. But here's a fuzzy one. What about this? Clackamas County has been pretty famous for doing something. They've been stopping churches from building new facilities. I can think of four or five larger churches. Maybe there's some smaller ones too, but I can think of four or five larger churches who've raised millions of dollars. They want to build a brand new facility on new property, and the county has completely shut them down. Say, no way. We say no. What do we do then? What do we do? It's one of those things like, how do we disobey? Just going to build it anyway? Well, that could cause lots of problems, but I don't know. But what do you do in that situation? While I may think that those millions of dollars could probably be better spent than in a building, what right does the county have to stop them from doing that? Yet we've hardly raised an eyelash or blinked an eyelash, raised a finger. We haven't done anything to try to stop the government from doing that. It's one of those fuzzy areas, one of those question marks of when do we stand up against the government and when do we say yes to God? Those of us today, we rarely encounter serious persecution for being a Christian. We may experience some prejudice and a little bit of laughing, you know, joking about it, but rarely do we suffer persecution. Is that a reason to obey God rather than man? I don't know. But you know what? If the government tells me that I can no longer preach the word publicly, if the government tells me that, that one to me, that's not fuzzy at all. That one says, okay, wow, now we've got a problem because I've got a mandate from God, mandate from Scripture, you know, and that seems like a no-brainer for me. I must obey God rather than man, no matter the consequences. And maybe that's true for you too. They say you can't meet at a church. You can't meet together. You can't do this. You can't do that. Oh, do spiritual things. What are we going to do if and when that time happens? Maybe we should start getting ready for that time because perhaps that time's not that far off. Well, verse 21 makes me laugh. Ha, 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 ha. The council threatened them further, but they finally let them go. They let them go. You know why? Because they didn't know what to do with them. They didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. They didn't know what to do. It's kind of like that same thing they were having with Jesus. They didn't know what to do. For everyone was praising the Lord for this great, great miraculous sign, the healing of the man who'd been lame for over 40 years. These guys, the council, didn't know what to do. They were stuck. And you know what? Seems like everyone was enjoying the day except them, doesn't it? The Jewish council was used to getting their way, boy. Man, no one dares to stand up to these guys. They are in charge, not only politically, but spiritually. In every way, these guys were it. But now they feel like they're just that little dog that's getting peed on by the bigger dog. And it's a sad day for them. Their authority is being challenged. They must have really hated Peter, right? Don't you think? Oh, man, they must have hated him. The simple, uneducated, crusty old fisherman who seemed to have access to more authority and power than they did. Wow. So here's the story of one of the most bravest, most courageous things that I've ever seen or heard. Peter stands up to these very powerful people and tells them, no, we must obey God rather than man. Love it. And doesn't that fit our simple definition of courage? To do what's right. To do it no matter what the cost or the consequence. To say what's right no matter what. You know what happens next in the story is what I consider to be the greatest prayer in all of Scripture. We've got it written down for us. And I know that the believers prayed a lot. It says they prayed every day. But for some reason now in this story, we have the prayer written out for us. And that for me is like a ding, 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 ding. Pay attention, pay attention. Why would this whole prayer be written out for us if the Holy Spirit didn't want us to pay attention to it and maybe to follow its example? So let's look at this prayer that happened. Here's what's going on. Acts 4 tells us that Peter and John went back to the believers after all this stuff had happened. They went back and told them the whole story, all the way from the healing, all the way to the serious threats and being told not to teach or preach using the name of Jesus. They shared the whole thing with the group of Christians. And isn't that a wonderful description of what the church is supposed to be like? That's the church in action right there. Peter and John go back, and I don't see them floating on air with halos over their heads, you know, super holy, super holy. I see them going back to these people a little distraught, a little upset. I mean, they just spent a night in jail. They probably hadn't eaten or bathed. It was cold, who knows what, and they've been threatened by the government. And wouldn't you feel just a little out of sorts, even if you knew God was there with you? And I think they told this whole story, and they just depended upon the believers to encourage them and to share what's going on. I love home groups, and I love the times in home groups when we can rally around someone who's in a special need. I mean, that's the best time of home group for me. And if you're not in a home group, you may be missing out on this chance to just really be in a crisis, to have a few people gather around you and lift you up and pray for you. Now, while Peter and John were bold, standing against the Jewish council, they must have been quite upset by all this going on. So what did the Jerusalem believers do when they heard Peter's report? What did they do? Well, they could have gotten all upset. They could have yelled out, "That's not right. That's not fair. They can't do that to us. Who are they to say what we can and can't do?" Well, they could have done that. But instead, we're told that they did a fairly radical thing. It says they immediately went to prayer. They brought their need to God. Let's take the time and look at this prayer that's been written out for us. You think about it. How many times they prayed? But again, this is that special prayer. Let's look at verse 24. When they heard the report from Peter and John, all the believers lifted their voice together in prayer to God. And here's what they prayed. Let's pay attention to this because I'm going to break this down a little bit. First they start, "Oh, sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. You spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of earth prepared for battles. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah." Keeps going. "In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will." One more thing. "And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Charles, if you wouldn't mind going back to that first one then. Yeah, right there. Perfect. Great. Look at this, how they start the prayer. Did you catch it? What was the spirit of their prayer? What was the attitude of their prayer from the very beginning? It was about God's rule, right? God's sovereignty. They were worshiping the Lord, weren't they? They started their prayer by saying, "God, you're this." Before they said, "We've got this problem here." They said, but first of all, "God, you're this." And it's like they're reminding themselves. Because I don't think God needed to be reminded, by the way. You know, it's just, "God, let me tell you about something you may have forgotten. You are the creator of heaven and earth." Remember that? Remember when you did that thing? That was kind of cool. Now, God knew, he knows all this stuff, right? And that's one of the great mysteries of prayer. I think half the time prayer is more for us than for God. But God loves the interaction. He loves the communication. Anyway, going down a rabbit trail here. All right. They pray saying, "Oh, sovereign Lord." Oh, sovereign. What's that word, sovereign? There's a little word at the end of sovereign called reign, which means that word is what kind of a word? Like a royalty type of name, right? Like talking about kings or princes and rulers, right? Exactly. Lord, the sovereign Lord, the ruler of this area. You, the one who created heaven and earth. So he's sovereign over all this stuff. That's what's going on. We've got to do the same thing. Whenever we have a need to present to the Lord, we should begin by acknowledging God's control, that he's sovereign. By sovereign. Verse 25, 26 now. They quote scripture. They quote Psalm 2. And if you're filling out your outline, I'm getting blanking out here. If you're filling out your outline, number one is what? Sovereign. I don't even have one with me. That's how bad I am. I told you I got this post-Thanksgiving kind of thing going on. So yeah, if you're in your outline, how to find courage in your life. Number one, claim the absolute sovereignty of God in your life. Start there. And then this one could certainly be number two, but I lumped it in with number one. They quote Psalm 2. Why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. This verse doesn't say a lot to me, personally. I don't know about you. Any of you guys moved to tears by this? I'm looking around, watching, you know. Yeah, okay, it's interesting. But you know what? To them, this verse must have meant something very special. Because they were reminded of it. It comes from Psalm 2, verse 1. And it was important to them. And in fact, we find out that it leads us into the next part in verses 27 and 28. They're going to say, oh yeah, this is what happened. In fact, this is what happened in this very city. For Herod Antipas, who was the puppet king of Israel, Pontius Pilate, y'all know who he was, right? He was the Roman governor of Judea. The Gentiles, which are all the people that are not Jewish, and then all of the Jews, all the people of Israel, they all united themselves against Jesus, your holy servant whom you anointed. But everything they did, here's that phrase, everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. What a great statement. Everything that's happened, everything, you've known what's going on, God. You are in control. How do you find courage in your life? Number two, let's move on. You declare God's rule over the entire world. He's not just sovereign, but he's not just that God way up in heaven in charge, but he rules this earth. Everything that happens, nothing surprises him, and that should be the attitude of our prayers. He can use anything. He can make anything happen. He can make something good come out of something horrible. And now, verse 29, and now, O Lord, hear their threats. And here is all they ask for. They only ask for one thing. Hear their threats, but the main thing they ask for themselves is what? Give us courage. Give us great boldness. Wow. What? When you pray and when you ask God for stuff, do you ever ask God for this? I mean, usually it's something we just need, right? Oh, Lord, take care of this problem. Oh, Lord, do this. That provide our needs. But they're praying in the midst of persecution, in the midst of this thing going on where they are facing the government, the Jewish leaders themselves, and all they ask for is what? Help us to be bold, Lord. Help us to not give up. Help us to not quit because it's worth it. They're praying, give us great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch your hand with healing signs. They ask God, say, Lord, as we continue this, just keep showing yourself to be true. Show yourself to be real with these signs and wonders. Do great things through your holy servant, Israel. And so number three, I would say how to find courage in your life. First one is claim the absolute sovereignty of God. Number two, declare God's rule over the entire world. And the third way to find courage in your life is to pray with confidence. Pray with confidence. Pray for boldness. Great stuff. You don't have confidence in yourself. You have confidence in the Lord. The same God of the Bible is the one listening to your prayers. It's a great prayer in the time of need. It's a great example for us. Do you guys know that just a few months ago in the country of Nigeria, where Kim Perry has been a couple of times, do you guys know that just last March, 500 Christians were slaughtered? I don't think it was a village. It was like a cleansing type of thing. Like a whole village was taken out. They were claiming to be Christians. And that was the only reason why they were killed. It's because they took a stand for Jesus when there were others trying to tell them not to. I could picture them before that event. I could picture them with, I'm sure there were lots of threats beforehand. I'm sure there were lots of bad stuff happening before that day in March. I wonder if they prayed this prayer. Lord, give us boldness. Help us to be strong no matter what. I don't want to play a game. If this is real, Lord, help me to be strong. We need to be strong. How long before it costs us something for saying that we are followers of Jesus? When's that time going to come when it costs us something? It may be far away, but it's coming, I promise you. You're going to pay a price for being a follower of Jesus. Will you be ready when that time comes? That's my question. Will you be ready? Are you practicing courage right now by letting people know that you love Jesus? Are you being bold? Are you able to tell people? I'm not asking you to preach again. I'm not asking you to stand up on a soapbox and start screaming at people. I'm asking, are you willing to tell somebody what the Lord's doing in your life? I call it raising the flag. It's like when someone would take over a castle or area. What's the first thing they always do in the movies, right? They change the flag, right? Or a ship, da-da-da-da, raise the flag. This castle, this place is the Lord's place, my life. I'm going to raise the flag and say, God is in charge. Are you able to do that? Do you have that? Do you feel like you have that boldness? Just in everyday life? To make a statement that says that Jesus is Lord. It's important. You guys know what happened after this prayer? It's pretty famous what happened. Look at 31. After they were done, amen, all of a sudden, earthquake. We're talking like the meeting place, it says shook. I don't understand that. Do you understand that? Isn't that wild? Isn't that crazy? I guess the best part is that it was not that the place shook. The coolest part was what? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. Didn't they already have the Spirit? This is another example of when God, in a special moment, says, you guys need a little boost. You need a power surge. I know you're plugged in. I know you're plugged in, but watch out. Ching, here it goes. And they needed that, and they were filled with boldness, and they preached the word of God without fear. Isn't that great news? I asked the Lord for that. I asked the Lord for boldness. Do you need more courage in your life? Do you need to take a stand for Jesus and not be just a people pleaser? I promise you two things. I promise you there will be fruit from that. I also promise you there's going to be someone who's going to laugh in your face or tell you you're the stupidest, dumbest person in the world. I promise you both those things. But you know what? What can man do to us? What can they do to us? We belong to the Lord. He is in charge. He's in control. Nothing's going to keep. He will never, ever let go. An old song I learned back in the 70s. I don't even know, if, like maybe a Negro spiritual or something. I'm not sure. One of those old folk songs. I'm going to have us sing it. You guys get your beads and hippie gear on here and kind of reminisce for some of us. But would you stand with me? Sing this very simple phrase, a cappella. Goes like this. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Now, I don't want to scold you, but the next two verses mean a lot to me. And if you don't mean them, don't sing them. But if you mean them, join us, would you? The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Just in the quietness of this moment, if you took that song seriously, just say it in the quietness. Just say it quietly to the Lord. Ask forgiveness for your cowardice and ask the Lord for boldness. Thank you, Lord. Please, Lord. Hear the prayers of those, Lord, who really want to be changed. Holy Spirit, come fill them. When we pray this prayer, that means some stuff's going to happen this week. It's going to be tested. And so, Lord, at that right moment, give us the courage we need. Give us the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. If there's anybody here, Lord, that has never, ever given their heart, life to you, oh, Lord, why not today? Help them just to make that statement and maybe to tell somebody about it this morning. And lastly, I just want to pray a blessing over Vanessa, who led her last Sunday with us here as she and her husband moved to Bend. Be with her, Lord. Be with them. Pray for a job. We pray that they would find a good church and that she would continue to grow in you. Thank you for the gift of having her here for a few months. We love her, Lord. Thank you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Go do it. You know what to do.